Hey guys, welcome to Crime. The rest is history. Before moving on to today's episode, I would suggest everyone to listen to the disclaimer. So guys, as you have known, on my weekend, I did ask if you all want any of your crime series to be podcasted. And I got a request from a good friend of mine, Mr. Vargas Abel. And so let's not waste any more time and let's move on. The following are the words of T.N.M. Markew. Once upon a time, the posh neighborhood of Thiruvananmiyur was a haven for sex work, a rack, and murder. The man responsible for it knew untold stories, but no one wanted to hear them. Just past the Tidal Park traffic stop, on the busy road towards Thiruvananmiyur in Chennai, a lane beside the canal makes a sharp drop into a PR Nagar. There are no boats welcoming you into the humble neighborhood, and it is a world away from swanky beach-facing apartments a few lanes away. Amidst the depleted homes, open drains, and small shop stands, the house of Gauri Shankar, alias Otto Shankar, the dreaded criminal who was hanged to death in 1995 for 6 brutal murders. PR Nagar was his kotai, the home base for his criminal enterprise, reaccounts a senior crime journalist who reported on his case. Shankar's family still lives in PR Nagar. Auto driver, a notorious criminal, a serial killer, a sleazy womanizer, influential pimp, a hot runner, a doting husband and father, a nice guy next door. There are many alternate realities about Auto Shankar, all of which come together to create shades of grey which are not easy to discern. For the rest of the city, Shankar was the mass murderer of Madras, but in the bylanes of PR Nagar, he remains liked and respected. In this area, he has a good name, he has a good to all of us and helped us, says a woman resident who has lived there for over 4 decades. No one contests, however, that he brutally murdered at least 6 people. On a hot summer day in July 1988, Madras woke up to be introduced to Otto Shankar on newspaper front pages. The initial public reaction was one of shock, fear and anger. For the early skeletons that tumbled out of his closet had a lot of flesh sticking out to them, quite literally, narrating a story of seas, debauchery and slavery. Slavery. But in many ways, his story is one which has not been fully narrated. We still don't know, perhaps never will, about the influential politicians linked to him. Senior journalist Babu Jai Kumar says, and also adds with a cynical smile, if he was alive today, perhaps he would have been a minister. Criminal mastermind, sleazy womanizer. Shankar's reign of crime and terror in Madras was at a time when mobile phones belonged to the realm of science fiction and the East Coast Road was perhaps on the drawing board of some town planner. Madras, a less bustling metropolis, ended with Thiruvananmiyur, which itself was seen as a remote suburb and not in the city polis limits. Between Thiruvananmiyur and Mahabalipuram were tiny fishing hamlets connected by narrow porthole roads that meandered through the coastal terrain lined with palm trees along the scenic coast. The villages were distillation dens for illicit liquor, and the palm trees offered scope for toddy brewing. Shankar piled through the battered roads of these villages in his auto rickshaw, carrying the liquor to the interior lanes of Madras. This they also used to smuggle liquor around the cans or the fast bikes, a crime journalist says. While transporting liquor, he was introduced to the sex work trade that thrived at that time in Mahabalipuram. The woman had to travel between the city and the coastal tourist town, and his auto was used for a ferry there. Soon, he figured out that the nuisance of the trade and set up his own business. He ran brothels in Thiruvaniyamur area, one from a lodge in LB Road and another from the huts of PR Nagar. He prospered as his client base expanded and included police officials and politicians. The brutal crimes that shook Madras. As an operator of the brothels, he did not mind mixing pleasure with business, thus indulging in all that the trade threw up. He was a regular at the Pulse Cabaret near the Devi Theatre complex on Mount Road. It was there that he saw Lalita, a performer he fell for and who later became a victim in his macabre killing spree that ultimately took him to the gallows. His gang had become so ruthless that they had killed three persons with whom they got into fight over taking a girl from brothel in LB Road. Those bodies were buried in a ground or sealed in vaults and later recovered. Lalita, who Shankar fell for, eloped with his friend Sudalamithu. An angry Shankar brought them back to his den and killed them. Lalita's body, which was buried in a plot in PR Nagar, was exhumed later by the police, which sent snooping around before he was arrested and found that a widowed lady was paying a rent of rupees 150 and living in the house built on the plot where Lalita was buried, reaccounts a senior crime journalist. Sathalai Muthu was burned and his ashes strewn in the Bay of Bengal, a method of extermination that he reportedly adopted with 9 young girls who went missing from their homes mysteriously. Waking up the police in 1988 to look for the possible serial killer, the truth about those girls was never brought out, though Shankar, just prior to his death, had confessed that the girls were abducted to satisfy the perverted request of some top politicians. Who were these politicians? We will never know, although names of top leaders of a major political party did emerge in those days. He had videotapes and images of his influential customers, perhaps to blackmail them, says Babu Jaikumar. Another journalist says, he had a lot of pornographic materials and naked pictures of the women who worked for him and of his lovers. Cops confiscated this and it was all perhaps destroyed. By the time law caught up with him, he had built a house in PR Nagar to live with his wife and sons and was surrounded by a powerful gang. Several police officers and politicians had graced his housewarming ceremony, and Shankar had recorded the entire event on video. Today, Shankar might have been lording over a thriving underworld empire as a 64-year-old Mosofyo or as a prominent politician if not for the change in the political climate in 1988. So guys, you can also watch the fictionalized story of Otto Shankar on Z5, the web series which was released on April 23. So guys, Mr. Otto Shankar also had written an autobiography when it was running around into 300 pages while he was confined in a sub jail. And you can look into the details of the case that was filed. That is R. Raja Gopal was a state of Tamil Nadu on October 7th, 1994. In case you want to know into more in detail. But there was the case going on mainly is because whether to publish his autobiography or not. So you can go into the details and check it out. And the Otto Shankar's Reign of Terror, it was actually an incomplete story because they only have found 6 bodies as like, you know, evidence and all. But the rest of the missing women, and there are a lot more to it. So that's what it is always known as, an untold or an incomplete story that prevailed during the late 1970s and 80s in Tamil Nadu. So guys, this is for today's episode. Until then, crime, the rest is history. This is your host, Lavanya Zeus, signing off. Adios!